I would invite you to take a Bible, if you would, and turn to two brief passages. The first is in Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, and the second is Romans 8, 28. First, Genesis 50, 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You're driving down the road, just minding your own business. And suddenly, that orange sign with those six demonic letters appears. Detour. And your palms get sweaty. Your heart palpitates. Your eyes dart back and forth furtively. You might even scream, "No!" And if you're in unfamiliar territory, like on a vacation or something, and do not have a GPS that annoyingly will say, "Recalculating, recalculating," and sometimes gives you new directions, and sometimes they're even correct, you might even begin having a panic attack. Then the questions begin, oftentimes from the passenger seat. "So where are we? Wonder how long this will take. Are you going to stop and ask for directions or not?" By the way, I will. Used to, I wouldn't. I will. Or I'll get on the phone and call somebody who knows the area. "What if we get lost? What if," and I don't know anyone that would think this way or ask this question, but it did roll around a few weeks ago when I was working on this. "What if this detour leads to one of those creepy houses or motels or gas stations like in the horror movies?" Ooh. On a more serious note, though, what do we do? How do we react when detours come, not on the road out here, but when detours come that affect our lives? Illness, accidents, loss of a job or a home, or other important things. Some drop into depression. Others into substance abuse. Still others become hysterical or inconsolable. And then there are those who seem to take everything in stride. Some even move to Egypt and live a long denial. But what makes a difference? What makes the difference between those other reactions and those who seem to take things in stride? Now, we are all aware of the story of Joseph and of how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But I'm sure that Joseph had great plans in his mind, other than being a royal pain for his brothers oftentimes, but I'm sure he had other plans in his mind of how his life would play out. And Joseph certainly was not anticipating the detours that came his way. And I say detours because there were multiple detours in his life. Being sold into slavery was only one. And then getting thrown into prison was another. Can you imagine what must have gone through his mind, especially when his brother sold him into slavery? How his heart must have been racing. What's going to happen now? What if I end up in some creepy place in some foreign land? Which he did. Ending up in the deepest, dankest, most rat-infested part of the prison. You're my brothers. How in the world can you do this to me? And I'm sure somewhere along the line, he thought, how am I going to survive? And we know that even though he remained loyal to God, Joseph didn't have an easy path. He did end up in a creepy dungeon in a foreign land. He did end up becoming fearful of what was going to happen when he was in that dungeon. Although I'm sure there was even greater fear when Potiphar's wife did what she did. Even though he was taking the right road, she lied because she had been scorned. And he didn't know if Potiphar would kill him or not. How in the world was he going to do this? Well, we know what happened. We know the story, and we know about how eventually he got out of prison. He became the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, right behind Pharaoh. We also know how his brothers came down during famines, and how Joseph kind of, in a way, got a little bit of revenge. He toyed with them, even scaring them pretty heartily. And yet, throughout it all, we find him eventually ending up in really good shape. Here we fast forward a number of years. He's in very good shape in that foreign place. And here he is over his brothers. What a change in that detour. What a change in that trip that he had been making. Now, I've already given us the reason, and we know the reason that Joseph survived the detour. Regardless of what happened, the Bible tells us that he remained faithful to God. But you know, that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? To remain faithful to God when the detours come. When those detours seem to be lengthy, totally unexpected. They drain us, perhaps, financially, physically, emotionally, and sometimes spiritually. And so here we come to the end of the book of Genesis, where things seem to be going along very, very well for Joseph. And they've actually gone along well for his brothers and his father and the rest of their families, too. But now his father has died. And his brothers are really anxious. They're concerned about what detour may come into their lives. That he will do something to them. And so they get together. And once again, they concoct a story. The text says that the brothers went to him and told him, "Oh, your father said such and such." Now, we don't know if Israel had said that or not. But I have the sneaking suspicion that they made this up trying to get themselves out of trouble because they were so fearful of the detour. They tell him this story about how Jacob says, "You are not to do anything to your brothers. You need to forgive your brothers for the detour that they caused, the evil or the sin, as some translations say, that they brought upon him." In fact, they not only ask for forgiveness, they fall down on their knees, weeping and pleading and begging and saying, "Just make us your servants, your slaves." Oh boy, Joseph's got them right where he wants them now, right? Well, sometimes many of us would feel that way. But Joseph takes the higher road once again. I mean, the normal reaction of someone who had been so wronged might be to say, "You know, payback's a bad boy." Might look at them and scream and yell, "You got to be kidding me. After what you did to me?" Huh. And yet Joseph reacts in a very surprising way for them, and perhaps a surprising way for us when we think about some of the detours that come in our own lives. In fact, we find, very simply, the text says, and Joseph wept. Joseph wept. Why? Well, we don't know for sure. Maybe disappointment. Disappointment that his brothers didn't understand that he had been the one protecting them and he would continue to do so. Maybe he was pitying them because of their fears. We really don't know, but what we do know, in all of this that had taken place, in all of these detours that in which Joseph spent most of his life, he states with a question, who really is in charge? He says, "Am I in the place of God to judge and to punish just because I want to do it?" No. He says, "I recognize what you did, you intended to harm me. You didn't care if I lived or died out of your jealousy." But he understood also the providence of God and trusted in that. And in fact, he references God's providence, God's protection. So what does that mean? The providence of God. And how does that help us keep faith in the middle of life's detours? First, providence comes from the word which means to provide, and often is associated with both looking ahead prudently and taking care of someone. Joseph realized that God had been looking ahead and looking out for him prudently, and it is God who had provided for him. It wasn't Joseph's own doing. The only thing Joseph had done to which he could lay any claim was to remain loyal to God in the middle of the mystery and the wonder and the questions of the detour that had been tossed his way. But wait a minute. He ended up going through a lot of rough stuff. What do you mean God was looking out for him? You might think. Well, providence doesn't mean that we're protected from harm. Providence doesn't mean that we will never have bad things happen in our lives. Providence doesn't mean that we will never have those detours in which sometimes we feel lost and alone and afraid. Theologian Paul Tillich writes, and I quote, "Providence means that there is a creating and saving possibility implied in every situation which the event cannot destroy. Providence means that the demonic and destructive forces, even within ourselves, and our world can never have an unbreakable grasp upon us. And that the bond which connects us with the fulfilling love of God can never be totally disrupted. End of quote. And that brings us back not only to what Joseph had learned about God's providence in the midst of detours and about forgiveness, but millennia later, Saul of Tarsus, known as Paul, discovered the same thing. God works with all things. God works with all things toward good and for a purpose. Joseph said, "You meant it for harm, but God took it and worked it into something good. And because of that, you're preserved, and I'm going to continue to preserve you and your children. Regardless of how you meant it, regardless of how terrible that detour was, God has been and will continue to be present," Joseph says. Paul had seen all kinds of detours in his life. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the persecution of Christians. And yet, he hit a detour. Many times, Paul, after his conversion, went to town after town and hit detours. He went in with a purpose, wanting to preach to people, and he did. And that got him right into the middle of jail or beatings or any number of other places. And yet, in and through all of that, Paul didn't give up. He didn't throw up his hands in disgust and say, "Listen, God, you're really not helping here. See ya." Instead, Paul says, God works with and in all things toward good for a purpose. And that purpose is to save. Joseph was saved. Israel, not only his father Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, but the nation was saved. Paul was saved. In the middle of the detour, God worked for a purpose, and that purpose was to save. Eternally, yes. But just as importantly, God's purpose was to save on a daily basis for what was needed that day. This doesn't mean that God will keep us from the detours in life. Nor does it mean that everything will turn out all right all the time. And Paul doesn't claim this, even in this verse. Paul doesn't claim it. As Luke Timothy Johnson writes, and I quote, "Paul doesn't say everything will turn out all right. God works with all things toward or into good. Good here is the goal toward which all things move in God." End of quote. Even in tragedy and failure, God works to bring out the good, to move us toward the goal of restoration, salvation on a daily basis, being restored regardless of where that detour hits. The text says that he does this for all who are called according to his purpose. That means that we belong to God's people. And when we come to God, when He calls us for that purpose and we come to Him as His people and remain in Him and share in His life, God continues to work good. Joseph came to know this. Joseph came to know the providence of God in the midst of life's detours. And for Joseph and for us, I think providence doesn't mean predestination. The providence and the presence of God in providing for us means, first of all, that God is for us. Later in this chapter 8, in Romans, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And while there are others against us, he reassures that those who remain loyal, even in the detours, can never be separated from the love of God, regardless of those who are against us. So first of all, God is for us. Secondly, providence means that God's purpose is to restore us in and through His love and grace. Providence also means that God can use even bad things to accomplish that purpose, which makes it incumbent upon us to seek God, especially in the detours. And the providence of God means that God's purpose will succeed ultimately. But whether it does for you or for me is also partly dependent upon our cooperating with Him. Not just when things are going well, and not just when the detours come, but cooperating with Him daily, regardless of our journey. And we might find that in those detours, just like sometimes when we travel through a new town or through the countryside and we discover something we've never seen before and it amazes us, we just might find in those detours that God will bring something beautiful and ultimately good, so that we might be able not only to live with Him, but to help others when life takes them on a detour. God stands there to work good with all things toward a purpose of restoration. So do we ask for directions and follow, or still do it on our own? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we oftentimes find detours in life. Many times we don't know how to handle them, and we try to do them on our own. Help us to remember that Your providence means that You are for us and with us, and there to seek to guide us toward good and Your purpose, if we will but listen. Help us to listen with our inner ears, those attuned to Your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is 189. Hallelujah. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. But also as we stand and as we sing, may we remember that we can say that even in the detours. Number 189. thank you for coming and for sharing in worship today. I know this is going to be decorating and moving and all going on. Strong backs. Even if you've got a strong mind as well. You know that old saying, strong back, weak mind, it doesn't always hold. So, but other decorating, don't forget VBS folks, 4 o'clock this afternoon for a meeting. And Vacation Bible School starts tonight. Please remember the workers as well as the children who will be coming this week. Safe travels, a safe time, and a productive Vacation Bible School. As you go, know this. We all hate those detour signs. Well, maybe you don't. I do. I see that orange sign and I'm thinking, okay. Is there some way I can maybe go through and find another? But life throws us detours all the time. Some of them are small and some of them are major. The important thing is how we handle them. Whether we listen to and cooperate with God's providence or whether we seek to find our own way. If He is truly worthy, then we will praise Him even in a detour, and He will lead us for good and for a purpose. God bless you, and go in peace and share that good news.